Well, friends, let us, for a few moments this evening, turn back to that chapter we read from Romans chapter 13. And you will find our text tonight in verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, seeking the help of the Lord this evening, we shall focus our thoughts on this text for our meditation this evening. Here we have the Epistle to the Romans. And the Epistle to the Romans is perhaps known preeminently as a great theological epistle. And yet, from chapter 12 onwards, we see the apostle working out the great theological truths that he has set forth in this epistle. And he does so with practical exhortations. And this is what we have here in the words of our text. It is an exhortation to the believers. It is an exhortation to encourage them to continue and to persevere in godliness and in holy living. We know he is addressing believers because he speaks about their salvation being nearer than when they believed. And yet he speaks about them as those who are sleepy. Sleepy believers. They need to awake, he says. Oh, how prone we are, every one of us, to love ease, to love slumber and sleeping. Now we know that some poor souls are denied the blessing of sleep. Others are overcome by sleep through infirmities or sicknesses. But in general, sleep is something that we choose to do. It is something that we choose to do. It is not something that necessarily is involuntary. It is voluntary. And the apostle here is exhorting them not to be spiritually asleep. Spiritually asleep. Spiritual sleeping believers. Ah, you might say, can it really be so? Those who have the salvation of God in Christ. We think of the Psalms where it says, that salvation wrought by thee, in which thy glory is made great. Can it really be true that those who are partakers of such salvation in Christ would sleep, would be sleepy, would be overcome by sleep? Well, the scripture teaches us about these things. We have scriptural examples. We think of Jonah. In the midst of that crisis, that storm that was sent by God for Jonah's purpose, Jonah was the cause of that storm. Now, there were other reasons for the mariners and those who were on the boat. God's purposes, we know, are manifold in all his works. And yet, Jonah was there asleep when God was at work. We have the example also of the parable of the 10 virgins. were those five who were wise and who were able to go in with the Lord of the house for the marriage feast when he returned. Previous to his return, they are described as slumbering and sleeping with the unwise. So scripture here sets before us this danger. And the apostle is here addressing this danger of spiritual sleeping, dozing believers. My friend, can I not say to you tonight, is this not characteristic of our generation? Alas, we have to say, when we look at the church in our own nation in broad terms, and perhaps even when we look at our own denomination and our own congregations, we have to admit, sadly, that in many respects this is true. Ah, but let's not stop at congregations and churches. Let us ask ourselves. Let us ask ourselves, and I put it to you, my friend, is this your condition tonight? Has the Lord got a word for you tonight? Are you a sleepy believer? Someone who has tasted and seen that God is good in Christ? Someone who is a possessor of this salvation, but who is at ease in Zion? Well, the apostle comes, and the word of God comes in its authority tonight. And it says to you, and it says to me, and it says to every one of us, this exhortation. It is high time to awake out of sleep. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Well, there are three things I want to address this evening. We have three truths. First of all, let us ask about knowing the time. He begins a text and he says, and that knowing the time. Now when you think, let us try and illustrate this in a natural sense. It can be very difficult in the middle of the night if you're waking up to know the time unless you check. So first of all, the apostle says here, and that knowing the time. We shall examine what he means about the time. And then secondly, when the believers are aware of what the time is, then they must awake. They must awake out of sleep. For when they are aware of what the time is, they will agree with the apostle. They will say, it's high time. It's high time we were awake. And then thirdly, this exhortation, as is the way with the apostle in scripture, is full of encouragement. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, these three thoughts, these three points from our text this evening, as the Lord will help us for a few moments, and as we go along, we shall seek to apply these things to ourselves in a practical manner. First of all then, and that knowing the time. The apostle is here, first of all, exhorting the believers to have discernment of the time in which they are living. Now, we know this word, kairos, is used in the scriptures. And it denotes different eras, or different generations, or different days. It can be applied. And that is really the heart of this word here. It's talking about the present. It's not talking about generations past. It's talking about the present. And here we have, in this sense, it is speaking about a fixed period of time. Now, when the apostle was writing many years ago, but the word of God doesn't change because the Lord himself doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those things were written so many years ago are just as relevant today. And here the apostle is exhorting them to Christian spiritual discernment. A spiritual discernment to the time in which they were living. These days, this generation, what time are we living in? We're living in the last days. Now, we know that the last days began at the ascension of Christ, when he rose from the dead, when he was ascended up into glory. And they will continue until Christ returns again. These are the last days. Now the apostles taught and they lived with that truth set before them of the return of Christ. It is quite a thought, isn't it, if we consider our own Saviour's words in Matthew 25. There, the believers, those who had oil in their lamps, the oil of grace, they knew that the groom was returning. They knew that he was coming. And yet they still slumbered and slept. But again and again, as we read the apostles in the New Testament, we see again and again they are referring to the return of Christ. They lived and they taught of the return of Christ being near. We have it there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. The Lord draweth nigh. The Lord draweth nigh. We think of towards the end of Scripture, where the Lord himself declares, "Behold, I come quickly," he says. And the church's response goes out with all its love and desire. Goes forth, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The last days. How far into the last days are we? Well, nobody knows. The apostles taught that also, did they not? As they lived with the return of Christ set before them, they also taught that he would come as a thief in the night, that no man knows. Our Lord, the Saviour himself, taught us in Matthew 24 that no man knows the day or the hour. But the point is this. There are many debates, of course, theological debates, and perhaps you have a different view from somebody else in the congregation. Perhaps there are different views even in your family, amongst your brothers and your sisters or whatever. The point is this. What effect is it having on you? Here the apostle is exhorting them to hold in view the return of Christ, what an effect it had in the apostle. The apostle Paul himself, whom we believe wrote this epistle, was very zealous for the gospel. He was very committed to suffering for Christ and for the sake of Christ. And the more he did for Christ, the less he was esteemed by others. But he thought it as nothing. He thought it as nothing, for he had the return of the Master set before him. How effective it was, whether they believed it was imminent or not. Or we can argue both from the New Testament writings. It was effective in stirring him up. And this is where the stirring up of the Christian begins. It's with the spiritual eyesight that comes from spiritual discernment of the time in which they are living. The apostle here says, and that knowing the time, he says. Knowing the time. Well, it is the word of God, blessed by the Spirit of God, that can give us that discernment. How interested are you in the time in which we live? Oh, well, many people are interested in this day of judgment, are they not? Many people within the church, many people without the church, are interested as to what is going to happen next. That is not the discernment. It's a spiritual discernment that says to us, time is running short. Time is running short. Surely this is one great lesson that comes out from this judgment, this pestilence that is in all the earth. Time is short. I was speaking to somebody recently, and they said to me that they were reading in their own devotions, and they came across a text that spoke to them about the day and age in which we lived. You know what that text was? It was, you are going to die. Set your house in order. And they said to me, what a text for our day. What a text in the midst of this pandemic. That text obviously had an effect on that person. And this is what is required in our day. That the word would be blessed to us by the Spirit of God. That we would have that spiritual discernment to discern the time. And that it would be blessed to us not only to give us that knowledge. Knowledge is one thing. But for the Christian, knowledge needs to be acted upon. Bare knowledge that is just in the head is good. It's a good place to start. But the knowledge must work its way through us. Quickening us to discern the time. Oh, what a knowledge this is. Imagine. It is those who are possessors of life who have this knowledge. The return of Christ. The end of the age. This time is all preparatory for that. Knowing the time. Ah, my friend, have you got that spiritual discernment? Do you know the time? Do you know the time? Like I say, we can think of the natural illustration. When we wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Perhaps you look at the curtains, and you can tell by how much daylight is coming in from behind the curtains, roughly what time it is. Perhaps you reach for your alarm clock, or your mobile phone nowadays. Let us discern the time. Let us live in the light of the time, the return of Christ. Let us live in it. Let us know the time. And if we don't know the time, let us ask the Lord to give us that spiritual discernment from his word. That is where we are to discover the time and the day and age in which we live. Well, secondly, let us notice this. If there is a knowledge of the time, the apostle says, if there is that discernment, there then needs to be radical action. Radical action. That's the second thing we have here. When we know the time, then we would say amen with the apostle. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. High time to awake out of sleep. Now, we think of the natural illustration. How many times has this happened to you in your lifetime? You've overslept. And you suddenly realize the time. And you're out of bed as quickly as you can be. Perhaps you've got an important appointment to keep. Perhaps you need to travel. I suppose for many of you who live in the Western Isles, your days have been dictated to by the ferries. How often has that been the case? These are illustrating great spiritual truths. When we know the time, there is a seriousness about awaking. Awake out of sleep. Now, we know that sleep is not unlawful. It, indeed, in the case of our Lord, sleep proved his humanity. That he was truly God and man. We see scripture revealing to us him asleep in the boat. But he was tired. And he slept. We see also the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. There they slept while the Lord prayed. We see scripture referring to those who have passed into glory have been asleep in Jesus. But this is not what the apostle is here talking about, this sleep that the believers are to awake out of. It is a spiritual sleep. It is a spiritual slumber. An ease, a doziness that comes over believers. When does this come over them? Well, not when they first come to know the Lord. When they first come to know the Lord, in general, in most cases, they are very zealous. And often their zeal will outrun their knowledge. But how the pendulum swings if we are spared to go on with the Lord through this life. How the pendulum swings, and how it might get to a certain stage where knowledge overtakes zeal. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because zeal starts to be dampened down. Now there are many reasons, perhaps, for zeal for Christ and for his glory and for his kingdom and for his name to be hallowed and feared. All these things can be lost. But is it not a terrible shame if we are to think that these things are lost because knowledge is increasing? How often is that the case? Where knowledge increases, zeal starts to wane. Ah, my friend, are you what you once were? Are you what you once were? You think back on your days when you first came to know the Lord. Are you as zealous now as you were then? Oh, I'm sure your knowledge has increased maybe 100-fold. Has your zeal kept pace with it? Spiritual sleep at ease in Zion. One of the things about sleep which I would presume happens to us all is that we dream. We dream in sleep. We're reminded of the wife that came to the Roman governor and said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things in dreams because of him." We think of many in the Old Testament. Dreams are recorded. Ah, are you a spiritual dreamer? Are you dreaming that your zeal is just as much strong as it once was? Ah, I think if we are honest, my friend, do we not have to admit to ourselves we're not what we once were? Are we asleep? Are we asleep? Well, here the apostle attaches a knowledge of the time to the awaking. The awaking. Think it naturally again. Think back to the physical and the natural illustration we have there. What is it that awakens us out of sleep? Well, in many cases, it is the light of God shining in the window. Isn't it? It is the light that God himself has given, has created, shining in the window. Especially, I think, as that's one of the things that's noticeable at this time of year with the dawn of spring. As we're in the early days of the spring, the days are getting so much lighter. It's the light of God. Is the light of God starting to dawn in you through his word and his spirit, awakening you out of your spiritual slumber? The light of God. Oh, how effective it is to awaken us in a physical sense. Is it as effective for you, my friend, to awaken out of this spiritual sleep? But maybe it's not the light of God. Think in terms again, as we illustrate this truth. Think of terms physical. Often we are awakened by an alarm. We are suddenly awoken. Suddenly awoken. We see that in a Philippian jailer, don't we? In his conversion. He suddenly awoke. The earthquake was sent to suddenly awaken. And that might be the case for you every morning, I don't know. Perhaps it is, perhaps it's not. But when the alarm sounds, we wake with a start. And can we not say, not only do we awake with the light of God, the light that God has given, the light in His Word and by His Spirit, we can awake spiritually at the work of God. When the crisis comes, now whether that be a crisis of health, whether it be a crisis in the home, one of the children shouting in the middle of the night, we are suddenly awakened, or one of our perhaps elderly relatives who may be staying with us, needing some assistance in the middle of the night, or whether it be our alarm going off in the morning, we are suddenly caused to awake. My friend, I put it to you, is this not the day in which we live? This pestilence, see, is an alarm of God to the church. That's why it's come. It's come to the church to awake out of its spiritual slumber. Not to be sleeping with the, as we see there in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew, to awake. Not to be sleeping with the world at ease. No, to be spiritually awake to the time in which we live. And isn't it the case that when you know the time, you would say with the apostle, yes, it's high time. We often say that. I remember one of my friends used to delight in phoning me first thing in the morning to say, are you awake yet? It's high time you were getting up. Well, isn't the Lord saying that to us through this pestilence? Here we are, meeting together by Zoom. We are thankful to the Lord for these modern technologies that He has provided. But oh, what sorrow there should be that we cannot go to the house of God. We read in Revelation about the glory of Christ set forth as the one who shuts the door that no man can open. And the one who opens the door that no man can shut. Ah, how He has done it to the church doors. As an alarm to the church. To awake. It's high time to awake. Look at the time. Knowing the time. It is high time to awake. Let us be up and doing for Christ. Ah, you might say, but we can't do much in our day and generation. Ah, well, Scripture commends a great work to us in Anna. Anna, who was at the temple and who saw the child Jesus, who saw the baby Jesus, in fact. It says about her that she served God night and day with prayers. Served God night and day with prayers. Is it not high time that we awoke? And then thirdly, there is this encouragement that is added to this exhortation. An encouragement, and what a great encouragement it is. Does the apostle say to them, well, you know, you sleepy Christians, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. You're going to lose everything. All your hopes are going to be gone. All the things that you were hoping and expecting, they're all, no. He doesn't. He reminds them of the salvation that is theirs. Here is a father's string to the bow of this exhortation. They of all people, he says, should not be slumbering, should not be asleep. For their salvation, they have salvation. Salvation. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, what is meant by this salvation? Are they not saved? Yes, there's a sense in which a believer, the moment they are united to Christ by faith, they are saved. And they are saved forevermore. They are one of Christ's covenant people. They are united to Christ by faith. And the very moment that takes place, whether it is discerned by the Christian or not, whether it is discerned, whether it is known to them or not, or whether it becomes apparent to them, after perhaps a period of time, they are saved. But that's not the end. That's not the end of the matter. We live in a day when we have abroad in the church this matchbox Christianity. It's tiny. Small. You go in one end and out the other. And that's it. Not at all. This salvation of Christ is rich. It's a full salvation. This salvation, then, our salvation, he says, is nearer now than when we believed. It is a salvation that brings a complete assurance. Our assurance in this world, it's a bit like the tide. In the mercy of God, our assurance that we're saved is sometimes fully in. Sometimes in the providence of God, especially in times of affliction, or times of conviction of sin, our assurance can be like the tide when it's fully out. You struggle to see anything. Ah, but when that salvation is complete, we will have complete assurance. We will have complete comfort. And we shall also have complete the presence of Christ. Ah, the presence of the Saviour is something that is fleeting. I remember reading a story. I can't remember who it was about, but it was one of the worthies in the Free Church College who was asked by a professor one day if he had anything against Christ. And he said his visitations are so fleeting that he would desire that Christ would linger longer with him. Ah, my friend, is that not your own desire? Ah, but this salvation is to bring these things that we believe. They are to be brought into reality, into our experience. Not just fleeting moments. And he says, something else about this salvation. It is based on believing. It is based on faith. I wonder, is there somebody here tonight who is tuned in to this service and you're trying to work your way into God's favor? You're trying to earn the favor of God so that you might be saved. Ah, my friend, repent of that sin. What an affront to God that is. It is saying that the death of Christ is not good enough to save you. No, the salvation is by faith. He says here, our salvation nearer than when we believed. The salvation is by faith. And in this world we look through a glass darkly. But when that salvation is brought to its completion, when the soul and the body are reunited and to enter glory, that's when salvation will be brought to its completion. The triumph of Christ will be complete. The sinner will be saved completely. Ah, but it's not just our salvation. The apostle says it's nearer now than it has ever been before. It's nearer now than it has ever been before. What a comfort that should be. That our salvation is nearer to us now than it ever has been before. That's true. The years are flying by. Are any of us getting younger? No. The years are flying by, my friend. The moment of our departure from this world is much closer now than when we believed. Ah, but what about the return of Christ? Is it not also much closer than it was when we first believed? What a string to the bow then of this exhortation. That we should be up and doing. We should be zealous for Christ. We shouldn't be sleepy and asleep. For our salvation is nearer now. It is nearer now than when we believed. Let us lay this to heart then, friend. This is a call to holiness. An exhortation to persevere in the way of holiness. It is an exhortation to persevere in the way of obedience to Christ and to his word. It is an exhortation to diligence. Ah, we hear rumors that the churches may soon be open. Will your seat be empty? If God spares you to see it, or will you be diligent? No longer asleep, no longer sleeping. These three things then, let us know the time. Let us seek that discernment from the Lord that we would know the time. For when we know the time, we will say to ourselves, we don't need anyone else to say it to us. If we are possessors of this salvation that Christ has wrought for us, we will agree with them. We will say, yes, it's high time for me to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. May God bless his word to us this evening. Let us have a word of prayer.